I think I'm a nerd. That's what it is.
Well, Star Trek is one of your favorite shows. So.
Okay. Point made.
You've said that on the podcast. I don't think I'm like...
Yeah, yeah. No, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. This is Chris Roby, and across from me is Carly Duke.
Hey guys.
So Carly, we have spoken at length on this podcast about being parents.
Yes.
We're both parents. I would say I'm average, depending, replacement level if you're going to use baseball terms.
That's just not true.
But I would say that our topic today about virtues is super helpful because a lot of times we can be negative in the way that we talk to our children, even if we're not intending to be. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to be overly, you know, we're not trying to be abusive or overly negative, but just sometimes if you played back what you just said to your kids or the way you talk to your kids, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of negative. And I think there's some things we can do about that.
Yeah. And I think too, you mentioned parenting, and this topic is one that I recently heard about in a parenting class, but I think if you are a school person or a coach, this is also super helpful to help you reframe not only how we speak to teenagers, but how we think about them
mm-hmm.
in our own minds. And so today I want to talk a little bit about this idea of virtues versus vice
okay. When
you're speaking to teenagers. And I took, as I've talked about in this podcast before, I have toddlers, so a little different from teenagers, but I recently took a transitioning to toddlerhood kind of class.
See, that's why you're a better parent, because you actually take classes.
I'm trying.
You're taking notes. It's impressive. Yes.
But I thought this idea was so cool because, like, in the context of little children, instead of telling my son, hey, stop whining, goodness, they whine all the time. If I can reframe that and say, hey, let's show a little more gratitude or let's speak kindly. Instead of focusing on the vice, which is whining, if I can change my language to telling them, here's how I would like you to act, instead of here's how you're negatively acting, that can make a big difference because language is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is, and it makes a difference how you speak to teens, how you speak to other people, how you even speak to yourself.
Right, and I think that's where this all starts, to be honest with you, because I know when I am speaking more harshly to my children or you know, the stop doing this or stop doing that or don't do that. Oftentimes it's the times where I'm not doing well myself, or if I'm really reflective, I'm like, you're really beating up on yourself internally. You're saying those things to yourself and those things flow out to your kids. And so being aware of how you're feeling, or maybe even adjusting this language internally, or the way that you talk to yourself, which you do talk to yourself, that's a whole nother topic for another day. But the way that we talk to ourselves will flow out on how we talk to our children. So, Carly, give us a couple examples of what virtue would look like, or communicating virtues versus vice would look like as we're talking to our teenagers.
Right. So I think, first of all, I will post a link to a full list of virtues. There are a lot that you can focus on. So I'm kind of put down a few, but there are a lot on there. But let's talk about some ways that maybe we could see the virtues and look for the virtues in teens, because they all have them.
Right.
And when we constantly focus on the negative, you're going to see more negative.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're focusing on the virtue, I think you'll see more virtues and more good qualities come out in your teenagers. So one might be bravery.
Mm.
And teens are brave. Now, sometimes this can go either way. Sometimes maybe if they're fearful, instead of saying, hey, don't be scared of that, say like, hey, you're brave.
Right.
We can do this. And kind of encouraging them with that bravery talk. Maybe you have a teenager who fears nothing, maybe even to a detriment sometimes, of they are going to talk to anyone. They will jump off a building because they think that's cool. And it would be easy to say like, man, they are reckless.
Mm.
But maybe a way to reframe that is they're brave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say, too, another way you would say that is you've done this before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that works both ways. So for a kid who is fearful or scared or something, likely they have they have battled this before in some ways or in a similar situation. So like, hey, you know, are you scared of this test? How many tests have you taken?
Right.
You can do this. You've done this before. Or if they're jumping off the buildings, you've done this before.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what happened there, you know, to kind of peel that back a little bit where it's not being foolish.
Right. And I think as we talk through these, there are things where if you feel like your teenager maybe falls on the more reckless side and you're going to reframe that to they're brave.
Mm.
Use that as a way to say, okay, but how can we bring that bravery out while also being wise and being smart and not just saying like, oh, well, they're not reckless. They're brave. So they can do whatever they want. But using that as a tool to say, let's bring out the positive of that and also work on how we can kind of minimize the more negative aspects of that. Curiosity is another virtue. And I see this, we talked about before, I see this in my kids a lot. My four-year-old asks so many questions. He talks constantly. And especially when we're in the car, I can get in this vibe of like, hey, stop talking to me. Like, I just need you to be quiet. And if I can reframe in my mind, he's not being annoying. He's being curious.
Right. And curiosity is a virtue we want all of our kids to have. And to be able to be curious with them and say, you know, maybe ask those questions back. Well, what do you think? Or what have you seen? Or any of those kinds of things where they're in teen life, we love questions. So if they're asking lots of questions or inquiring a lot, first of all, with adolescents, be grateful they're talking to you.
Yeah.
And asking those questions because that's going to become less and less the case the older that they get. And so the more that they're staying connected with you, invite those questions and ask those questions back to indicate that I'm curious too.
Well, and I think sometimes teenagers might get the rap of being nosy or they're being in everyone's business. They're probably curious. And so have that conversation of how can we be curious while also being kind and making sure we're curious about the right things. And so using this curious of like, hey, I see a lot of curiosity in you. What are some things we maybe shouldn't be curious about? Or is this even yours to question? But focusing on that curiosity, that virtue instead of the vice on the other side. Flexibility is a virtue, being able to be flexible. And sometimes our teenagers, maybe you think, man, they just go with the flow way too much. They don't have structure. I don't know what's going on. But that is a virtue that they're able to be flexible. And that's a really good thing. When you can frame it correctly and when you can like kind of grow that of, okay, let's start with this virtue and then let's work on other things too.
Or if they're on the other end and they're the overachiever and it's got to be this way. And if something slightly wrong happens, the whole world ends.
Right.
It doesn't. And to encourage that, you know, that flexibility, but while also honoring their high achievement of the things that they're wanting to accomplish. So I think there's something you can do there too.
Yeah. Generosity is another one. And we want to encourage generosity in our teens. And I feel like especially for this one, sometimes it can be more the negative that we see in this one of, not that they're hoarding, but teenagers care deeply about what they're doing with their time. They might not have a lot of money, so they might be holding on to that more. And instead of focusing on those things, being like, hey, let's be generous. But teenagers are also very, very generous.
Absolutely.
And so when you're looking for that, I think you're going to see that more where you might be thinking like, they're not grateful. They don't care at all about what I do. Ask them to be generous and look for ways that they are generous because it might be in smaller ways and it might not even be in ways that you are noticing.
Right. Next one's joy. I love to talk through this idea of joy, and especially if your teenager is effusive in their and living life and just being all into everything and big and loud and all that kind of stuff. It's easy to want to tamp that down, especially if it's you have that kid that's just a lot.
Yeah.
But to be able to reframe it as, you know, I wish I had that kind of joy. Living life, and I admire how joyful you are about everything that you do, and how can we use that to encourage other people to bring out the best in other people, and making sure that joy, that zest for life, is pointed in that direction.
I also think, on the other hand, if you have a teenager who is struggling, who might be sad or just not happy about a situation, you have to be careful with this one because we want our teenagers to be able to be sad. I think sometimes the bent is, hey, don't be sad. And we take that away from them, but when that's a feeling that they need to feel, but at the same time, maybe, hey, how can we choose joy in this situation?
Right.
Or what is something that would bring you joy today? If they're going through a week that is really difficult, let's find something that's going to bring you joy instead of like, hey, stop moping around, focus on the virtue and say, what can we do to get to that? And kind of encourage that as well. Perseverance is one that we see so much in teens. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, as we've talked about on this podcast before, they might not even realize that they're persevering. And as you've said, Chris, if they're going through something difficult, saying, hey, when have you done that before? Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that. That was perseverance.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the teens we work with kind of talk about how it just never stops. Like I'm just going through so much and feels like nothing's ever going well. But to be able to point out you have been through and done so much more than I ever have. You know, like if I walked a day in your shoes, I don't know that I could do it because you've had to persevere through so much, but you're here today. Mm-hmm. You made it. And I think to be able to point that out, like, oh yeah, I really have. Like it's, you know, going through a lot of difficult things at one time can cause one to get really discouraged, but to be able to point out what you are enduring right now and persevering through and what that's going to build for the future, super powerful.
Finally, trustworthiness. This is one where if your teen is struggling with telling the truth, I have a toddler who does not tell the truth mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy for me to say, stop lying. Stop lying to me. Stop hiding. Stop sneaking. I know what you're doing. And if I can reframe that to, hey, I want you to be trustworthy. Mm-hmm. I want to trust you. Can you tell me the truth? Mm. And reframing it that way instead of just saying, you're a liar. Mm. Because what is that going to do to our teenagers?
Right.
They're going to think, I'm a liar.
Identity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And instead of telling them, hey, you're someone who tells the truth, so let's act that way now.
Right.
And so this one is one, especially if you're getting frustrated in that, encourage them to tell the truth instead of telling them to stop lying. And that could make a really big difference in the life of you and your teenager. And as I've said, these are ones that the way you speak matters about virtue and the way you think. Because if you can reframe it in your mind, if you're getting annoyed with something, maybe think, well, is there a virtue hidden in there? Mm-hmm. And can I focus on that today? For the trend, Chris, I want to talk about Marvel.
I feel like we had a moderately intense discussion about this recently where you couldn't believe all the Marvel movies I've not seen.
We did. I don't know. You struck me as someone who would like Marvel shows and Marvel movies.
I think I'm a nerd. That's what it is. Well,
Star Trek is one of your favorite shows, so.
Okay. Point made.
You've said that on the podcast. I don't think I'm like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. But no, the nerddom has not made its way over to superheroes.
Okay.
Quite yet. But I'm working on it.
Tell me about that.
Okay. So Disney Plus, if you do have that, or if you just want to go Google this, there's a timeline order of the Marvel MCU. And if anyone's listening to this is a super Marvel nerd and I'm saying things incorrectly or not using the right terminology, or just forgive me. I'm learning. I'm very new to this game. But I've been watching them in that timeline order.
Like so the chronological order.
Yeah, so not release order, but chronological order. And they actually had that spaced out now in Disney Plus where you just go and you just watch them in order. Mm. And as they introduce these little mini series, they kind of sandwich those in there as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I am on Captain America Civil War now.
That's a good one.
About halfway through, yeah. It's very different mm-hmm. than all the rest of them. So it was a good refresh or a good... rents from watching Ultron.
Yes, fair. Well, that one feels like an Avenger movie, even though it's not. Mm-hmm. And I will admit, I am a self-proclaimed Marvel nerd.
Oh, you are.
I am. I really enjoy these. I did that over pandemic. Mm. I watched all the Marvel movies chronologically. I sometimes will listen to podcasts about it because I like the movies. I'm not a comic person. Mm-hmm. And there are things that come up in the comics or that comic book readers will watch this and go, oh, that's what that means. And this is connecting this. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't catch any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really like Marvel because I think, especially if you have teenagers, it's one that it's funny. It doesn't feel babyish. It's probably something that you can enjoy and they can enjoy together. And if you do something like, hey, this summer, let's watch all the movies
mm-hmm.
in chronological order and kind of make that a bucket list, it gives you something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
I also love the inclusivity of Marvel.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they haven't maybe always been great at this, but they're working on it with movies like Black Panther,
mm-hmm.
with superheroes like Captain Marvel, that they're putting the strong female lead.
Mm-hmm.
Or even Eternals, maybe not my favorite of the Marvel movies, but they had a deaf actress. And so like on the set, I watched they do like little documentaries sometimes too in Disney Plus about the movie, and they had to use ASL to speak to her on set.
Oh.
And talking about how they had to kind of change the way that the production worked to make sure she had a positive experience too. And it's just really cool. Hmm. Even Shang-Chi. In the Ten Rings, that they have Marvel's first Asian superhero, that he was the lead in that. And then Moon Knight, I was telling Chris before we started, is the newest Disney Plus show, Marvel show, and it is set in Egypt. And I listened to this podcast about, and I can't remember if it was the director, it was someone who worked on the movie talking about how cool it was if you were Egyptian.
Mm.
That you haven't seen yourself in a superhero yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a line in the show where I think it was a little on the nose, where I think a little girl asks one of the characters, are you an Egyptian superhero? And you're kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
They just said that, but it really is, I think, for different people groups to see themselves in these movies and to see themselves as the hero is a really big deal.
I think as parents, especially if you're a white family and you're watching these more diverse Marvel movies, to have those conversations,
mm-hmm.
how would this feel if you were of a different ethnicity and never seen yourself represented?
Yeah.
Maybe even positively on screen. What would that feel like? You know, what would that mean to you? Because I never made the connection that Egyptians have never been portrayed as superheroes. Mm-hmm. Like that never occurred to me, because there's a lot of white male superheroes out there.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, and so I guess I'm pretty spoiled with that. But also when I'm thinking of how are Egyptians portrayed on TV, it's very archaeological dig stuff. I mean, it's very much about pharaohs and mm-hmm. and stuff that maybe would not fully encapsulate what an Egyptian's experience would be. So that's pretty cool. And I think that'd be a great conversation to have with your teenager.
Right. And going off of that, I did want to give some content warnings. I'll link Common Sense Media. That's a great place to go read up on these and check. But especially right now, because the newest Doctor Strange movie just came out a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the first ones I heard about it before I went and saw it. Of like, hey, be careful. It's pretty dark. It's one that has more evil in it than mm-hmm. maybe movies past. And I was kind of like, yeah, we'll see. And so Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is what it's called. It's still rated PG-13,
mm-hmm.
but hear it from me, it was creepy.
Yeah.
It was really creepy. And so if you've already seen it or your teen's already seen it, maybe have conversations about that. And if they haven't, maybe look into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give spoilers away, but the director is Sam Raimi. And he did the original Spider-Man. So with Tobey Maguire, he did those movies, but he also does horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell.
He pulls a lot of that into it.
Yeah, he does. And so things like there's some jump scares. There's more blood and gore than I've ever seen in a Marvel movie mm-hmm. before. There's like little things. It's almost like he was like, what are my favorite horror movies? And let's take a piece and put it in this mm-hmm. character of limping and blood smeared across faces and demons. I think if you have watched a lot of Marvel movies, you've come to expect a Captain America who can fight, but also doesn't actually want to hurt anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into this movie and going like, oh, there are a lot of people dying in very mm-hmm. gruesome ways.
Mm.
And so it's just something to be aware of.
Absolutely. Moon Knight, if you've not seen that, I don't recall there being a lot of blood and gore, but it's just the way that the thing's cut.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, without spoiling a lot too. It's about mental illness in a lot of ways, yeah. and depicting what that would be like to be inside someone's head, experiencing that. And it's a little bit, I won't say triggering, but I just watching it, like I've not seen something like this before, the mm-hmm. way that they're portraying this. And I feel like it does get you inside of the head of someone who's mentally ill, and it can be a little disturbing at some points, but it's a phenomenal series. Just know it's different than all the other ones, for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. If you have older teenagers, I think it'd be fine, or this might be one that you want to watch first and then decide if they want to watch it. It is more psychological, and there are some depictions of abuse, physical and emotional, but you're right. It's not as violent. I feel like they cut away from scenes that could be more violent, so you might know that they're happening, but you don't actually see what happens. But that one is different. And then we've mentioned this on a previous podcast, but the Defender Saga is what they're calling it. I did some research and figured out that that's what they're calling it. And that those are the Netflix series that they brought over to Disney Plus. And so they are rated TV mature.
Okay.
So they're the reason, if you remember, I'll link that episode too, but we talked about that Disney Plus changed its settings. It used to only be PG-13 or TV-14 and down. Mm-hmm. And now they have bigger content. Or more mature content,
right.
And it's so Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, The Defenders, and The Punisher are all these shows. And I haven't actually watched them, but just know that they are a different rating than your normal Marvel things. Mm-hmm. For the tip, Chris, I kind of want to go back a little bit to what we were talking about with virtues, but in a different way. And recently I saw someone say, especially for parents, and then I'll talk about for teachers too, take time every day to tell your kids at least one thing you love about them. And I've started this with my kids, and it's really sweet. And sometimes it looks like when I'm putting them to bed, of me kissing them and saying, Janie, I really love how helpful you were today. Or it might look like me just actively looking for that when Sawyer is kind. I love how kind you are, or I love how curious you are, using those virtue words we talked about earlier to point out what you love about them is really cool. And they've loved it. I mean, I know that they're little, but I feel like them hearing from me things that they're good at and that people love about them is really special.
Well, the teenagers that we work with at Teen Life don't really have this at all. And I would suspect that spreads out through most adolescents, where the adults in their life are telling them what to do or what not to do, but very rarely telling them something that they're good at or they're proud of them. And I don't know all the reasons behind that. I think in some ways it might be a little bit uncomfortable if you haven't done this before. It might feel contrived at first. And so you have to be mindful of that. If you decide, hey, I'm going to start affirming my kid or my teenager or another teenager, that I need to make sure I do this in a way that is or comes across genuine and thought out. And even acknowledge, like, say, hey, this is something I want to start doing, and I haven't done this enough, and I want to make sure that you know daily something I think you're awesome at or something awesome about you.
And maybe it looks like leaving a note on their bed or on their car. It could be verbal every time, but it doesn't always have to be. Now, for teachers and school people, you have way more kids than you can do this to every kid every day. We know that. But maybe it's being intentional of every day I'm going to affirm one student. I'm going to find one kid who I feel like needs affirmation. And like I said, that might be something like just writing an extra note on that assignment of like, hey, I see how hard you tried today. Great job. Or if you see something in a hallway, stopping and being like, hey, I saw that you were kind to that other student, or you stood up for them. I'm really proud of you. I mean, it could be something small like that. If you're a coach, maybe try to get through the whole team where every practice or every week you're picking a student to affirm. And it might be personally, it also might be in front of everyone.
Absolutely. And speaking of affirmation, we want to tell our audience we think you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
We're really glad that you listen every week. And that's a wrap on this episode. As always, we ask you to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. It helps us land in your feed every single week whenever we release on Tuesdays. Follow us on social media and all of our different social media platforms that are linked to this episode. Please review us on your favorite podcast app. It helps us so much. Share this with a friend and make sure the people around you know about this. And we will see you guys next week.